it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
2002, RJ Bentley's. Things get lit when this song come on. Whenever you hear Petey Pob, means we're going to talk to our friend, Miss Nikki Jobvala from The Athletic. Covers the Commanders. Does a great job doing it. What's up, Nick? How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Weird to have a day off on a Friday, right?
It's very weird. I don't like it. It gives me anxiety.
I know you well enough. Are you still just going to drive to the park and like hang out in the parking lot and see who drives
like
by?
Hang out by the bubble. I'm not that weird yet. Another few years on the beat, maybe.
I think motherhood has calmed you.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
if we can call you calmed.
Yeah, right? As close as I'll get.
Yeah. Before we get to this Commanders-Bears matchup, Eagles-Giants last night was a wild game. Quickly, especially, I think you're president of PFWA, your thoughts on Brian Daboll going into the blue medical tent and then Cam Scataboo going into the blue medical tent.
Fine.
While Jackson Dart is supposedly getting checked out for a concussion.
Yeah, I mean, luckily the PFWA does not cover the medical tent aspect. I feel like that's a league issue. it would seem ill-advised. Isn't that for, like, medical stuff? But, I mean, Dable's not a doctor.
He doesn't strike me.
You notice that he grabbed his head, and then all of a sudden when they came over, he started flexing his hamstrings and his knees.
It's amazing. He's a miracle worker. That's what he is.
And then the Eagles. First four games, it was ugly, it was messy, but everybody was like, they're winning, who cares? Now they've lost two in a row, and it's still ugly and messy.
Yeah, I would be concerned if I were an Eagles fan, but then again, I mean, we've seen it here, where they go on like a, three-game losing streak, and they bounce back and make it to the NFC Championship. So if you're going to lose a couple of games, now's a good time to do it.
For sure.
Lose them early, not late.
Talking to our friend Nikki Jobvala from The Athletic, covers the Commanders. You can read all her work in The Athletic. You can follow her at Nikki Jobvala, J-H-A-B-V-A-L-A. Joining us via the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. All right, let's get to what is really a big, big matchup for Washington. If they win Monday night, they'll be tied with the Eagles for first place in the division. How do you feel Washington is playing? They haven't put a clean game together, a clean, complete game together yet. And yet they're 3-2, and I'd say trending the right direction.
Yeah, I thought their last game was the closest they've had to a complete game. But that first quarter, I mean, it's just ugly. You know, it was more of blown coverages, giving up chunk plays, missed tackles. But unlike the last two losses, they managed to bounce back. They didn't let it snowball. And to me, it started with that Quan Martin forced fumble. I don't know why or how, but that totally changed the energy for the entire game. The offense started rolling. The defense cleaned up their acts. Special teams did their thing. So for three quarters, they looked like a complete team. Mm-hmm. Only they could do that for four.
Let's go through the injuries. Terry McLaurin's at the top of the list. We saw him yesterday, albeit briefly. How you feel about Terry's chances for Monday night?
I don't feel great about it. I mean, yesterday was considered really like their Wednesday going into a Sunday night game. But, you know, he's been on the side field working with trainers. He looked like they were doing some sprinting work, both with resistance band. And then just full on speed. And he was working with Jonathan Jones and the head strength coach, Chad Englehart. But to be at that point, going into a game, you want to see him get more on field reps before putting him in. So I don't feel super great about this week, maybe next week.
Yeah.
How about Noah Brown?
I think there's a real chance for Noah Brown. I think if you go beyond this week, you're going to raise questions about why didn't you just put him on IR, because this is the fourth week. So if he's missing 4 weeks, why didn't you just put him down on IR?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that he's been on the field. He's been taking game reps. I think they listed him as limited yesterday, if I'm correct. But I think there's definitely more of a chance than Terry, for sure.
And then I've been saying I think Cosme's coming back for Dallas.
Yep, I agree.
Okay, all right, so we're on the same wavelength. Like, yeah. I feel like Sam keeps kind of saying, he's like, yeah, you know, I'm back from the injury. I do need to get in football shape. I do have to hit some people and just remind my body what that's like. And,
yeah.
And honestly, I think, you know, the offensive line, when Cosme's ready, he's ready and he gets his job back. But I think Chris Paul and Wiley, since they kind of made those changes at the guard spots, has been pretty good.
Oh, I agree. I mean, just look at the run game. I mean, you don't have that kind of run game without them. I think Chris Paul has been, he's been really good. And this was a guy that was sort of, you know, always a cut candidate going into camp, but he totally changed his body shape coming in, and he's been a beast over there.
He's still dense.
Dense fella.
He's still dense. That's
yeah. But you know what, though? It's like he's always been a guy that's been hard to move. I just think now he moves better, which in turn makes he's harder to move, but he's moving you. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So
he's been good, man, for me, because like that interior has been solid.
Totally. Yeah. And that's what they wanted going in. So it's just with different personnel than they originally envisioned.
That's right. Coaches putting their money where their mouth is, too. They say we have competition all the time. We're going to play the best players.
Yep.
Him being on the field.
Yeah. And they're not wedded to their own guys.
Yeah.
I know that's been a narrative throughout. It's hard to, you know, but if they feel someone else is better, they're going to put them in. They're not going to risk their own team for ego, which I think is important.
It's tremendously important and has a lot of value. Talking with our friend Nikki Jabala here from The Athletic, let's talk Bill. Bill's been fantastic.
Yes, he has.
Cliff has been kind of the one that will say the quiet stuff out loud with Bill on and maybe why he's not getting all the carries. I thought Cliff again yesterday kind of did that and said, you know, it's – every time he's got the ball in his hands, he's been fantastic, but we still want to see him better in pass pro, running the right routes, being a lead blocker, all of those things. Do you think Bill has kind of cemented – this is going to be a committee, period. I just think that's how they're going to operate. But do you think Bill has now cemented a role where he's getting two-thirds of the work?
I can see it. I don't – like, Cliff hasn't lied with that. You know, like, I think he's serious about that. And remember when why am I suddenly blanking on his name? Jahan Dotson. They traded him away to Philly, largely because he wouldn't block. He wouldn't be active away from the ball. They really do want that. It's important to him. It's why Luke McCaffrey, in part, can get more time on the field, not just because of the injuries, but he does block. So I know that's important to them, but yeah, you can't deny the production he's had. He's a heck of a runner. And you can't really replicate that either. Beamich would certainly know better than me, but, you know, I feel like you either have that sort of vision or you don't. You can make those cuts or you don't. You can't just, you know, come in and teach somebody to do that. So to have a runner like that, I mean, this is what they've needed and what they've wanted when they tried to revamp the run game. I mean, this is what was missing late in the stretch last season when it was, you know, their run game was Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I think the ultimate thing is, like, with Bill, he has natural stuff that, you know, you can't teach. Santana went as far. We were watching the game the other day, and both of those runs, based off of Biadasz, they were supposed to go inside. Both of those touchdowns. But you saw him hit that stutter, but he still was able to immediately go back to full speed, get outside, and nobody was close to him. And he compared him to Edgerrin James. That's a big one there.
Wow.
But the thing of it, if you watch Edgerrin, he would always dip inside, and outside, nobody would be close. So when you have that type of ability, just use it. And then he does a great job of it because he can get from start to full speed in no time.
Yep. he just kind of glides out there. I mean, I hate to even make this comparison because I don't want people to get down a rabbit hole, but I only make it because I saw him up close once. You know, it was Saquon. I was a pool reporter for the Eagles ahead of the Super Bowl. So you get to see, like, what he does in practice every day. And he just sort of glides. And that's sort of how I view Bill. He can just sort of glide back and forth. It's almost like he's skiing upfield.
He does kind of glide.
Yeah, he does.
The comps for Bill game gets dangerous because he's played five games in the NFL.
Exactly, yeah.
The names you start throwing around are kind of crazy.
Yes.
Because I've heard a lot of them, and Bill was on with Grant and Danny and said, you know, he grew up loving Barry Sanders, and who doesn't love Barry Sanders?
Yeah.
Right.
Stop. He grew up loving Barry Sanders?
I'm probably watching highlights.
He watched some highlights. Yeah. When he was born, Barry was done.
Yeah.
But the thing, like, this is, we go back to it. I know people keep mentioning it. This dude, as a college student, practiced scout team, knowing he wasn't playing games. When you say that, people go, oh, wow, that's amazing. But when you really think about it, what damn college kid is going to still do that? So this says a lot about his football acumen and his drive. Because believe me, I'm going to tell you straight up, I know I'm crazy on the football field. I wouldn't have done it. There's no way I could have stayed there, ran scout team, knowing I wasn't going to play.
Right.
After being screwed over, but you know what? He had a plan. He knew something. And straight from that to getting the MVP of the All-Star game.
Yeah, the Shrine Bowl.
And now in the league, averaging over 6 yards a carry.
Yeah.
Can I give you mine? I've been hesitant to say this, but the way he makes his cut and gets upfield, just that similarity to me, I see a little bit of Thurman.
Thurman Thomas?
Yeah. Planting that outside foot and going.
Yeah.
Now, touchdowns in L.A. were all just runs. He didn't have to plant.
So we named three people. Well, we named four people.
I was
going to
say,
total.
No, it was more than that. Edrin James. Saquon.
So we got three of them already in the Hall of Fame. One of them possibly could get there.
And two of them are Heisman Trophy winners.
Yo, get a gold jacket now.
The other name for me, especially the way he jump cuts in the hole, is LaDainian. But again, this is all banana land to discuss.
You know what? But the thing of it is this. We're making those comparisons.
Yeah.
He's not making those comparisons, so we could do it.
Right.
Just keep playing, brother. Keep playing.
Nikki, serious question for you, because everybody on the team, on both teams, says, hell no, we're not thinking about it, we're not talking about it. What, if any, impact does last year's Hail Mary have on Monday night's game?
Probably makes the Bears hungrier to get a win. And that's probably why they're not talking about it. Don't want to give them any, you know, extra, you know, motivation, not that they really need it. But, you know, it's a completely different team. I mean, both teams are, really. But, you know, Washington has their, you know, same coaching staff, quarterback. I mean, to have Ben Johnson calling the plays, it's a completely different team over there. So it doesn't have a ton of impact beyond just, you know, the psyche, I think. But, you know, it's fun for fans.
Yeah.
You always look back on it.
I agree. I think, like, I said, so Mitch Tischler thinks it's going to have a big impact, especially for the Bears. And I just don't think it does. And here was my comp.
You know what? Go ahead. Listen to that.
Last year, week 18, Washington went down to Dallas and won at the absolute last second. Yeah. Marcus Mariota found Terry McLaurin in the corner for a touchdown. Is that game going to have any impact next week?
See, but this is the thing about it. Mitch saying is going to have a big impact for the Bears. What will the impact be? I mean, they could be talking about it, this, that, and the other. Once that game start, nobody think about that damn Hail Mary. You'll be thinking about that guy hitting you in your damn head across the line from you.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's
exactly.
Like it's a motivational tool, but you know what could happen in that situation? They could get overly hyped because of it. As I had a coach in college, I always say, don't play that game before the game. So I hope they play the game, but I hope they get so damn hyped that when they get in the game, they tired as hell. You know what I mean? So
I feel like this is more of a fan media contrived narrative than anything. And as a member of the media who is playing it up heavily, I take full responsibility for that. But I think it is. This is something for the fans to talk a lot about. And for the players, they're, you know, mostly focused on the game plan.
Well, I think I loved – so you do have, like, a lot of weird angles in this Bears-Commanders game. Mm-hmm. You've got Caleb versus Jaden, right? Mm-hmm. Which I loved how Jaden handled that the other day. He's like, yeah, he went number one, I'm number two. That was last year.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Year, who cares?
Yep.
You have Caleb is from DC, very famously, you know, he threw a Hail Mary at Gonzaga that was viral back in the high school days. Then you also have like the little subplot of Ben Johnson saying, nah, those are basketball guys, I don't want to go coach there. So there is a lot of stuff coming into this game, but it seems like all parties are trying to just talk it all down and let that be fan media.
But once you just said something, you said it, they said it was a basketball guy.
Yeah.
When Jaden come out to do his warm-ups, he should cross over Ben. Because you know he brings the basketball
with
him.
Basketball,
so he should go to him and cross him up a little bit. Say, oh, I'm sorry.
I will say that quote, I know it's gone viral, but I don't know if it came directly from Ben.
Sure.
I, like, in no way to defend the situation. I don't care either way, but it's like, yeah, that was, felt like a lot of agent-driven stuff there.
Yeah, the agent seemed to be very involved.
When your agents speak, they're your mouthpiece. So you better tell them what to say and what not to say.
Yeah, fair.
So I got the headline after Washington wins. Commanders dunk on the Bears. Use a basketball terminology.
There you go.
So, beyond all the stuff, what do you think of the game? Like, what do you make of Chicago coming to town off a bye week? Washington looked like they got it together last week. Where you at?
I actually think it can be harder for teams coming off that long of a break. We've seen it with this team where you feel like, oh yeah, they're going to be fresh. This is going to be good. And they just seem so flat. So I don't, maybe I'm just spinning this in my head. But I actually think that can hurt a team. Maybe I'm wrong. I actually think Washington has some semblance of a home field advantage nowadays. How weird is that?
I agree with you.
And
this
I think this could be a
thing,
very,
I think could be cool.
Yeah. I think this could be a very big game for Bill, so
dude, the Bears run.
They're giving up like over 6 yards a carry.
Yeah.
So I think this could be a great one. I think this is a game where running game, run the ball, stop the run, will be
feed
vital.
Bill.
Yeah.
Yes.
Feed Bill. Defensively, who do you think has been the best player on that defense? Because for me, I kind of think it's been Dorrance Armstrong.
Yes.
I agree totally. I think he's had a heck of a season. He had a hell of a training camp too. Sorry, am I allowed to say that word on there? Heck of a training camp, too.
We're good.
You can say hell of a.
Okay.
I say way
but
more
him,
than that.
Him and Deron have had, you know, really good start to the season. Dorrance has just been really good with his rushes. He's also been really good in the run game, which I know Joe Witt pointed out in his presser, but he's just been solid all around. I don't know. Joe Witt said it's more like the technique stuff that has been better suited for Dorrance and Deron too, but I just feel like they're playing more freely. They look comfortable with the guys around them. Dorrance has looked really good.
I also thought it was good to see Jordan McGee get some good snaps and play pretty well last week. Like they ran a little 4-3. We haven't seen that really in the DQ era. That was the first time.
Yeah. I feel like they need to. I mean, I feel like they need to in a lot of these positional groups where you know the lead veteran could be there last year. You know, Zach Gertz, you never know. We don't know how long Zach wants to play, how long he feels good enough to play. So, you know, I feel like they need to start grooming their successor, but without taking away from, you know, what the defense is. You can't just sit Bobby Wagner to give Jordan McGee snaps. That's not what I'm saying. But it was good to see him, you know, get some reps and look pretty good. I just feel like they the defense as a whole still needs to eliminate the missed tackles. Yeah.
When the young guys show enough to make that move, make it. If they're not showing it yet, you can't make it. Because the athleticism with the lack of experience could cost you.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, last question, Nick, and we're going to open the phone lines up on this. So you get to channel your inner sports radio caller, Nikki.
Oh, boy.
The Eagles lost last night, go to 4-2. Washington can get to 4-2 Monday night with a win. Do you think the Commanders can win the NFC East?
Can or will?
Can.
Yes, I think they can win the NFC East. I don't know that they will, but I think they can. I think it would be a stretch. I think their schedule's tough.
Yes, will, not sure.
Yes.
Now, Nikki, when sports radio callers call in, it's usually very matter of fact. They know exactly what's going
to
happen.
I know. That's why I never call in to you, ever.
Thank you for the time. Enjoy the weekend off. I'll see you Monday.
All right. Sounds good, guys. See you.
All right. That's our friend Nikki Jabala. Give her a follow at Nikki Jabala. When we come back, we're all going to answer the same question, and you get the opportunity to answer it as well. Can the Commanders win the NFC East? Will the Commanders win the NFC East? I will add, there is one two-decade-long stat that suggests it won't be Philly. Phones are open, 800-636-1067. Nobody go anywhere.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.